Take your Bibles tonight. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter number 9. The Gospel of John, chapter number 9. I'm going to read a passage concerning the healing of this blind man. I'm not going to read all of it. This is one of my favorite passages in the Scripture. I'm just going to use verse number 1 as sort of a launching pad, and we'll be looking into a number of different passages tonight. But I wanted to read this passage to get the whole story here of what was taking place. John chapter 9 verse 1 says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he might be born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, they that which before had seen him that was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? And some said, This is he, and others said, He is like him, but he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were the eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that's called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes, and said to me, Go into the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. What a wonderful story it is, as we find here this man that had been born blind. And, of course, the narrative goes on, and some of the things that were asked of this man, some of the Pharisees that were doubtful, and how they rebuked this man for talking about the Lord. And they said Jesus couldn't be of God because he did these things on the Sabbath day. They were more concerned about their rituals, more concerned about their special days than they were who the Lord really was. And so they ridiculed the Lord for doing that. And of course, the Pharisees were always at the Lord's face and trying to defeat him, and did all that they could. And they were successful as far as men were concerned about putting end to some of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that certainly did not stop the Lord, and his work continues on tonight. And all we think about tonight about the Pharisees, what we read about them, and not very good when we read that, but we read all the miracles and the things that Jesus did in his personal ministry. But really, in verse number 1, I just wanted to bring to our attention tonight a few places that these words are used. It says, "And as Jesus passed by." I've used these verses. I've had messages given at different times, and I've heard messages, but I wanted to bring again tonight some of the thoughts that we have in the Bible of when the Lord passes by, what takes place and what happens. We could tonight take a poll in this auditorium, and I could ask you what happened in your life when Jesus passed by. When the Lord came into your life, what took place? What changes were made? How did he deal with you? How did he work in your life? And we'd get a variance of different answers of what the Lord has done. But the number one answer would be that he saved me. He made me a new creature in Christ. He gave me new life and gave me liberty. And that's what Jesus did when he passed by my life, and when he came by my place one day and let me realize and know that I was a sinner, that I needed God. I couldn't go and do anything in my own, and I certainly couldn't make it to heaven by myself. I had to have help. And when he passed by my life one day, he let me know that, and I'm so glad that he was gracious and merciful to me. And I'm sure you that are saved tonight have the same testimony about the Lord passing by in salvation. And there's a lot of other things when he passes by that he does for us, and a lot of different things that has taken place in our lives. Philip Brooks, a writer, he made this statement. Says, "Of all the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that have ever sailed, and all the parliaments that have ever set, have changed the life of so many as this one solitary life named Jesus Christ." Jesus has made a difference and made a change in the lives of everybody that he comes into contact with. Some, even those that would reject him, he made some differences. And you'll find here, if you was to go on and read in this passage of Scripture, down in verse number 16, they were questioning the Lord, and it says there was a division among them. The Lord, everywhere he went, there was a division. There were some that would accept him, there were some that would agree, and then there were some that would rebel against him. And that goes on even tonight. That goes on today in our lifetime, that there is a division because of the Lord Jesus Christ. But tonight I want us to look at some five or six places in the Gospels of this thing of Jesus passing through or passing by. He was always going somewhere. He was always busy. He was always traveling. He was always doing things that would be helpful to a generation, to his generation, and trying to convince them that he was the Messiah, that he was the one that all the prophets dealt with. He was the one that they had prophesied about and given a message, and he did all those things to convince and to show people that he was deity, that he was God in the flesh. And of course, John's gospel is probably the strongest of the gospels, dealing with the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he was God that had come in the flesh, manifested among people. But here we find Jesus giving this man the light of seeing. He gave him the ability that he had never had before, and that was to see. And that was to have the sight around him. And of course we know that blindness is a type that is given in the Scripture, a type of sin. Blindness is a type of a sinner that has need of having light given to him. And this man here, he had begged. The Scripture says, and they looked at him and said, "Is this not the man that sits and begs?" And he's the one that is always on the side of the road, and he's begging alms and desiring for us to give. And some said, "Well, he's like him. He looks like him. But we know that man's blind. This man can see." And he had to give testimony. He said, "I'm him." He was able to say, "I'm the one you're talking about. I'm the one that could not see, and now I can see." And of course, they had all these things given, and this shows us and gives us the, as Jesus passed, the Bible says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man that was blind from his birth. This man had never seen the stars of the sky. He had never seen the sun. Oh, he'd felt the results of the sun. He'd felt the heat from the sun, but he'd never seen the sun itself, and he'd never seen the flowers. He maybe had smelled the flowers, but he'd never seen one. And he just had never had the ability to look upon things that we take so for granted. I'm amazed that when someone asked me, said, "Did you notice what so-and-so had on?" And I have to think, "No, I didn't notice that." "Did you see that that person had this or had that?" And I have to think to myself, "I did not notice." And then it would be so unusual sometimes that you should have noticed. It should have been there prevalent. But we take our sight so for granted. We look around, and probably many times we couldn't even tell somebody what they had on the day this morning at church. We couldn't tell what we did. We just do not observe. We're not very observant people. But I'll guarantee you, this man, when he received his sight, he began to look. He began to see things, and all of a sudden it made an impression upon him. And we see in this man how lost an individual is. They just cannot see. They just have not the ability. And I'm so glad one day God came by my house, and I'm glad he passed by me and gave me spiritual eyesight. Gave me sight that I could look upon the Word of God and could understand it. Do you realize this book that we hold in our hands tonight, this is a book that is divinely given to us, and so therefore if we understand it correctly, it must be divinely understood. We must have the Spirit of God to understand what it means. Now we can read words, we can read accounts, we can read things that take place, but to really understand the Word of God, you have to have spiritual eyesight. You have to have that ability to look upon it, and that the Spirit of God would guide and to direct us. This man had been blind, and Jesus passed by for a particular reason. I enjoy this because the disciples said, "Lord, did this man sin? Is that why he's blind?" He's like a lot of people today think every time you have some kind of sickness, you've sinned. Not necessarily that's the case. But the disciples said, "Lord, did this man sin? Is that why he is blind?" Well, was it because his parents sinned? Well, of course, we know that he was a sinner. We know that his parents were sinners. But he was not blind according to the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was not blind because that they were sinners. And the Bible says here that Jesus says, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. Here's the reason that he's blind. Here's the reason that Jesus passed by on this particular day. He says, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. The reason that that man had lived his life in darkness and blindness was that somewhere in the future of his life that Jesus would come by and make manifest the love of God and manifest unto him the power of God in his particular life. It wasn't because of sin. It wasn't because of some wrongdoing. It was simply because Jesus said that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And so he gave this man light. And if we was to take time to read all the passage here, we'd find how that the man, the work of God had been manifest in his life. But here we see Jesus giving this man the light of seeing. He had the ability now that everybody else had, and that was to see those things around him because simply Jesus passed by. I think about that woman at the well. The word there is not used that he passed by, but he said, I must needs go through Samaria. There was a reason that the Lord went through Samaria, because that woman was there that needed what Jesus had to offer. She was there, and this man had a need in his life. He was blind, and Jesus passed by to make manifest the wonderful works of God. And I believe when the Lord passed by our life, he was to make manifest the works of God in our life, that we would share those things with others around us, that people might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now turn, if you would, back to the book of Luke, chapter number 19. We're just going to do some Bible flipping and turning tonight on some different things. This is just a Bible study on the word pass through or pass by, and some things in all these are in the Gospels. In Luke chapter 19, we have the story of Zacchaeus, the conversion of this little short man. And Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. And that song we used to sing in our Bible school times. And Zacchaeus here is given to us in verse number 1 of chapter 19 of Luke. It says, as Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now Jesus was on a mission. He was on a trip. And he comes into the city of Jericho. He passes through that. And we have the account here of this man Zacchaeus. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was of the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Here we find Zacchaeus, and here the Lord is going to give unto him something that he didn't realize, something that he wasn't expecting, something that he wasn't desiring. And of course, we know that before the day was over, Zacchaeus was a new creature in Christ. Before it was over with, he was a different man because Jesus had passed by. Every one of us tonight, we're different because one day Jesus passed through our town. One day he passed by our life. He came through and we believed upon him. We find that this little man, Zacchaeus, that was a tax collector, he was a rich man. He was a hated man, but yet he wanted to see the Lord. So he climbs up that sycamore tree. And it says because of the press, because there were so many people there, and he was small of stature, and he just couldn't see. So he said, well, I'll get up a sycamore tree, and I will see the Lord as he passes through. And of course, the story goes on in verse number 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. You see, Jesus was on a trip. He was on a mission. He knew Zacchaeus was up that tree. He knew Zacchaeus was in trouble. He knew Zacchaeus had a need. And Jesus said, Zacchaeus, you come down. I've got to go to your house today. And of course, we know the rest of the story of what took place, because one day Jesus passed by his house. Isn't it a wonderful thing that the Lord knows where we are? He knows the condition we're in. He knows the heart problems that we have. He knows our emotional problems. He knows all the inner feelings that we have that we would not dare tell anyone. But thank God he knows, and he can come by and he can help us. And he can, just by a word and just by passing by, just coming close to us, he can give us the direction that we must have. Of course, we see that this little man called Zacchaeus, he received the Lord and he rejoiced with the Lord in his house. And then he said, I'll give back to everybody everything that I've taken wrong. And he says, the Lord's made a difference in my life. Thank God He's made a difference in all of our life if He's really our Lord. I don't care too much. I don't think too much about this salvation that doesn't change a person. A person doesn't have a change. They don't have what God tells us is salvation. Now, they may find religion. They may find a feeling. They may get all warm and fuzzy. And they may get all kind of ideas of spirituality. But if they do not have a change in their life, the Spirit of God has not moved in. He hasn't passed by. And so here we find that this blind man had a change in his life. He could see. Zacchaeus had a change in his life. He knew where he had done wrong. He understood. And Jesus come to his house and made haste. And he came down and he received him joyfully, verse number 6 says. Anytime the Lord passes by, it's a joyful time. It's a great time when God comes and makes His visit with us. And He tells in verse number 8, Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Well, that's a pretty good indication there's been a change in his life because he knew that he had taken things. He was a tax collector. And of this in this day, well, it may not be too different today, but in this day that we're reading about, the tax collector, he would get the taxes, but anything over and above that he could get from an individual, he kept that for himself. And old Zacchaeus said, if I've taken anything wrongfully, and he probably shouldn't have said if there, he said, probably should have said, all those things that I've taken wrongfully, I'll restore fourfold. But that's a good indication that God had passed by his heart and by his life and had really made a difference in his life. He restores, and that represents real salvation that comes to us. So one man can see that was blind. One man now has salvation that has been given to him, and he restores those things that has been taken wrongfully. Turn back to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9. We have here the incident of the calling of Matthew for service. I'm glad the Lord passes by not only to save us, but He passes by to make us serve Him, make us want to get in line with Him. And Matthew hears His call in verse number 9. It says, And as Jesus passed forth, from thence He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs. And He said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. Here we find Jesus passing through, and he sees this man, Matthew. He's sitting at the receipt of customs. Guess what? Another tax collector. Another man taking taxes. And he sees him there, and Jesus comes to him, and he says, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. Simply because Jesus passed by. In my personal life, my salvation is just as real today as it was when I was saved. It's just as fresh in my heart and my mind. I can go back and I can see where I was. I can see the things around and some of the people there. And then being a young boy, I was only 8 years old. After the service, I sort of got embarrassed about it. And I went out under a tree and just sort of was by myself for a while. And then the next day I decided, well, I'm going to tell somebody what happened to me last night. And I went to my teacher. Now, this tell you how old I am. I went to my first 4 years was in one room, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade. Had one teacher. Now, our teachers think it's bad to have two. Well, that dear lady, she had four grades. And the first person that I told what had happened to me that night was that teacher that I'd had in my life all those first years. And I told her, I said, guess what happened to me last night? And I don't know how she accepted it. I don't know what she thought about it. But I told her that I got saved. And she said, well, I'm glad for you. I'm glad for that. And I can remember that just as if it was yesterday. But just as much as I remember the Lord passing by in salvation, I also remember when I really determined in my heart that God had called me to preach. I remember where I was. I remember the night I surrendered to that and made it public. I wasn't in my home church. I was another church. I believe I could take you to that church tonight in Paducah, Kentucky, and go right to the room where I was talking to that preacher that I knew, and we had prayer about that. That's just as fresh as anything that happened yesterday. Because one day the Lord passed by, and He came and He made me realize and made me know not only that I needed to be saved, but you need to do something for God. Now, not everybody's called to preach. Not everybody goes to the mission field. But every one of us have a call to be a servant of God. Every one of us have a call that we ought to be obedient to the Lord, and we have a message from God. Because if He came by my heart, He also comes by your heart, and He's no different to any of us. We are to all serve Him and be what God would have us to be and do the best that we can. And we fail. And I have failed miserably in a lot of areas of my life, and some of those things only I know about the problems and the difficulties, and God knows about it, and He lets us know how that we are not doing maybe as we should. But thank God He comes by and He helps us and He encourages us and He strengthens us, and because He loves us. And so a blind man could see, and Zacchaeus got saved, and Matthew just followed the Lord, all because Jesus passed by, all because He came by one day. Thank God for that. Now we could go to Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 30. There's two blind men that's healed. And we'll just read this real quick. It's very close to the other. Matthew chapter number 20. Verse number 30 says, "Behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, they cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, Thou Son of David. Have mercy on us.'" All they had was that, again, they could only hear that the Lord was passing by. And thank God that we know the story here, that the Lord made them, give them sight, and God did for them what they desired. And Jesus, as He passed by, verse 32, Jesus stood still and called them, "What will you that I shall do unto you?" Jesus said, you've yelled at me, you've hollered at me, you've said, "Thou Son of David, have mercy." Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." That's what their desire was. And as Jesus passed by and stops and deals with those men, the Bible says Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight. And guess what? They followed Him simply because the Lord came by. They heard He was passing through their area. We ought to make it where people would hear that Jesus passes by. We ought to let people know that Grace Baptist Church is a place where God comes and has fellowship with us. And we ought to invite and deal with people and let them know that we enjoy folks coming and thank God for folks that do visit and come. And so glad that the Holy Spirit comes by. And when He passes by, He can do a work among the people and do what's needed in our lives. In Mark chapter number 11, this particular incident is not dealing with an individual person, not even dealing with mankind. But in Mark chapter number 11 and verse number 20, well, let's go back. Verse number 15. "And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went to the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and set them seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And He taught, saying unto them, 'Is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But you have made it a den of thieves.' And the scribes and the chief priests heard it, and they sought how they might destroy Him, for they feared Him, because all the people were astonished at His doctrine. And when even was come, He went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw a fig tree, dried up from the roots. And Peter calling to remembrance, saith unto Him, 'Master, behold the fig tree which thou curseth is withered away. If you look back in verse number 12 on down, you'll find that Jesus comes by this fig tree, and it didn't have any leaves, didn't have any fruit, and Jesus put a curse upon it. And the next day here, as we read, as He passed by, as they go out of the city, as they go back the way they came, they notice that this fig tree is dead and dried up because Jesus had put a curse upon it. And as He passed by that, they noticed and they realized that if it's not going to do any good, then we will be gone. If we're not going to be accomplishing what God has for us, that fig tree was supposed to bring forth figs. That fig tree was supposed to bear fruit, and it had not borne fruit. And so Jesus puts a curse on it. And we realize and we understand that if we don't do what God wants us to do, He can dry us up. He can take us away. He can put us on the side. He can put us on the shelf just as He passes by and see that we're not doing what we should do for Him. So He passed by, and they looked at the provision that had been given, the curse that had been put upon it. Now the fig tree is dead and destroyed as Jesus passes by. In Luke chapter 17, got this one and one more. This is the story of the account given of the 10 lepers that were healed in verse number 11. Verse 11, Luke chapter 17. And it came to pass, as He went to Jerusalem, that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. So here Jesus is passing through. And He goes, and as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when He saw them, He said to them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? As Jesus passed through Samaria, we've talked about Samaria so many times, you probably know where it is and some of the details about it. But Samaria was that land that most, for the most part, the Jews would not even go through. When Jesus went to the Samaritan woman there at the well, he went through Samaria, and they most times Jews would go all the way around, even though it was much farther distance to travel. They would not go. They did not want to go through the land of the Samaritans. For the Samaritans, they were not all Gentile, and they were not all Jew. They were of mixed race. They were half Jew, half Gentile, and the Jews were such a proud people and such a people that had a good history of their life. They just sort of looked down on anybody that wasn't like they were. Sort of prejudice. We use the word prejudice. And they were. And so they wouldn't go through Samaria, and if they'd go through it and get dust on their feet of that land of Samaria when they got into the land of Jerusalem, just as they crossed over to that land, they would dust take the dust off of their shoes, and they didn't want any Samaritan dirt in their land. That's prejudice. But here Jesus passes through this place. And as He passes, as He goes through, the Bible says here that when He gets into the midst of Samaria and He goes into a certain village, there met Him 10 that were lepers, which stood afar off. They didn't come right up to the Lord. You see, there was certain ceremonial things that the leper had to do. He had to stand afar off. He couldn't get close to someone else because leprosy was so very contagious. And so they had to stand afar off, and if they were to meet someone on the road, they would have to cry out, "Leper, leper," so that those that were coming could detour and go around them. They were very isolated people. And so when the Scripture says they were standing afar off, that's why, because they, by law, they had to do that. And they lifted up their voices and they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." You see, Jesus was passing through there. They had probably heard about the Lord, and they desired to be cleansed. And He told them, said, "Go show yourself to the priest." That was what they, That was part of the pattern they had to go through to have cleansing. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. Jesus didn't touch them. Jesus didn't do anything. He just said, you go show yourself to the priest and everything will be all right. And as they left, as they went toward the priest, they noticed their skin was back as it should be. They noticed the spots were gone and they had been cleansed. One of them comes back. No wonder the Lord says, where's the nine? Was there not 10? Did it not cleanse 10 men? Did it not have 10 here that had the same? And you're the only one that has come back? Oh, sometimes we are so forgetful. And here these men, these lepers, they were completely cured. And they, it was demonstrated to them who the Lord was. And they had this happen to them, but only one came back. And it's all because the superior love of the Lord, He passed by and made them a new creature. Only one came back to thank Him. I'm glad the Lord passes by. And sometimes people are not even observant of it. Sometimes they're not appreciative of it. Sometimes we think of things that happens because we have done this or done that. Well, the Lord's blessed our work. The Lord's blessed our hands. No, sometimes the Lord just blesses because He desires, and that has nothing to do with us. And sometimes we miss that, as these did. And the last one this afternoon is in Luke chapter number 4. This is a sad one. Luke chapter number 4. I don't really know where to start reading to get the story. In verse number 28, verse 27 talks about many lepers in Israel, and this is some things that Jesus taught them in the synagogue. When you come to verse number 28, it says, "And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him into the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way." He, passing through the midst of them. They didn't like what he said, and they were going to thrust him out of the city. And literally, they were going to throw him off of the hillside where the city was built. And here we find that they were filled with wrath and anger, and they didn't want his message. And so he passes through in the midst of them. He went his way. You know, there are people that are going to die without God that has heard message after message after message. And they've heard all the good things about the Lord. And some of them may have been raised in Christian homes, and some have just rebelled against the things of God. Well, one of these days, the Lord will pass on. One of these days, He might not deal with you anymore. And by the way, if God doesn't deal with our heart about salvation, we'll never get saved. If God doesn't speak to us, if God doesn't woo us, if God doesn't awaken us, we're just going to be here. And here, this generation, this people, as he deals with them concerning these things, and He says, "Verily I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." And He gave them message after message about Elias and Elijah and the prophets. And they didn't want to hear it. And they took up and they were going to thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill whereupon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. They're just going to throw him out. And the Bible says Jesus, He passed through and He went His way. We can say no to the Lord so many times that He would just pass away, pass by us. We can reject Him until He rejects us. We can say no to Him so many times and so long that all of a sudden He doesn't deal with us anymore. And so it's an important thing to realize when Jesus is passing by, there's my opportunity. Because He might pass on and go on. When He passes by for service, then I need to say, "Yes, Lord, I'll follow You." When He passes by to offer salvation, we need to realize that the Lord is giving us the hope of eternity. And we accept that and we rejoice in that, because there may come a time when He does as this people, here in Nazareth. He just passed through in the midst of them, and he went his way. He might not ever return. Just passing off. So tonight, as we look upon these 4, 6, or 7 different verses about Jesus passing by or passing through or passing on his way, we need to realize how important it is when Jesus passes by. We need to realize the opportunity that he gives us. We need to realize there may be somebody that comes in our pathway tomorrow, that God would use us to show that individual that Jesus is passing by. He might use us to tell somebody about the Lord. That he might use us to be a spokesman for Jesus Christ. To be that testimony, to be that emissary. We're all a part of that crowd that is to tell the world that Jesus saves. Because as Jesus passes by, I'm glad he deals with people's hearts and lives for salvation and for service. And if they continually reject and say, "I'll not have it," he can just pass on to somewhere else. God doesn't have to have us. He doesn't have to have me. He can find someone, and somebody will trust him. So may the Lord help us to recognize when the Lord passes by. When God comes close, when he's there, may we understand the importance of his presence, of his power. And as the song we sing tonight, he has the power to heal, he has the power to save, has the power to raise the dead. You know, he came to Lazarus' grave one time, and as he passed by, he said, "Lazarus, come forth." Thank God he did. Salvation offered and given, and praise the Lord for that. So when Jesus passes by, be alert and say, "Lord, what you have me to do? How are you going to use me? How do you want to use me? How will you use me?" And who knows, before we pillow our head tonight, there may be somebody somewhere that God would bring our path to cross, that we could show them that Jesus is passing by. Let's stand together tonight.